Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. Get started. Visit your local Maaco today. Get the free estimate and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
Today on The Grave Talks, The Ghosts of Phoenix with Laura Lovato Stenzel. Two of the most haunted locations in Phoenix are the Orpheum Theater and the San Carlos Hotel, two places Laura Lovato Stenzel knows quite well. As a seasoned ghost tour guide in Phoenix for 14 years, she has shared the tales of the spirits that reside there and has even encountered those spirits herself. At the Orpheum Theater, the most famous spirit is Maddie, who resides in the balcony. Many guests have reported seeing her. Some report seeing someone stepping off the balcony and simply disappearing. Another spirit seems to like the stage area and has even appeared to a crew member. She was so real that he actually spoke to her. Laura also feels a deep personal connection to Leonie Jensen, who tragically leaped from the roof of the San Carlos Hotel just weeks after the hotel opened. Laura, along with the help of a few others, has been working on piecing together her story. Seems Leonie appreciates that, as she often visits Laura in her dreams. Today on The Grave Talks, The Ghosts of Phoenix, with Laura Lovato Stenzel. Now, Laura, thank you very much for joining me tonight. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Have been a ghost tour guide in Phoenix for about 14 years, right? Between the Orpheum Theater and the Hotel San Carlos.
Yes, I have. I also did a walking tour, so I'm familiar with a lot of the historic buildings in town. So I know where a lot of bodies are buried, so to speak.
Almost literally.
Yes.
Now, because I think a lot of us, I always say it's a paranormal origin story, but there's something that got you interested in the paranormal. What happened with you? Was there anything that sparked it, or was it just kind of a general interest in it that
so
got
I think
you
I
going?
I had a general interest in it, but I would have to say my paternal grandmother was always telling me ghost stories. She used to see ghosts quite a bit. In fact, right before my grandfather passed away, she said that he appeared at the foot of her bed and she said, oh, must be my time to go. So she was always telling ghost stories, which led me, being a kid, an elder Gen Xer, I watched Scooby-Doo, In Search Of, Unsolved Mysteries, Sightings. And, back then we didn't have all of the things that we have today. So I just kind of drank that in. I love horror movies. My parents were divorced when I was young. My father used to tell me about the Kukui monster. And I actually thought that he made that up until I found out that's a real thing. And my stepfather also used to like to try to scare me a lot. Like, for example, we went to go see the Amityville Horror at the movie theater, and he tried to wake me up at 3:15 in the morning by setting my alarm. So I was pretty much tortured by all of these peoples and things. So I'm like, I just decided to embrace it.
And was it, and you were telling me earlier about, it was your daughter or your ex-husband took your daughter on a ghost tour?
Yes.
And so, that kind of really set this off.
It really did. So my oldest daughter went to, because of course I love the paranormal. So both of my daughters do, my older daughter and my younger daughter. So they were doing tours of different haunted hotels, and they ended up staying at the Hotel San Carlos one night. And she had a wonderful time. She just thought it was really great. So at that time, a lot of her friends, so I think she was in eighth grade, and all of her friends were having these huge parties where they were renting out suites in the high-end hotels. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. So I said, gather eight of your friends and we'll go down and we'll do the ghost tour at the San Carlos. We did that, and those girls still talk about that tour to this day. It was their favorite birthday party. And, you know, my daughter's getting ready to turn 35 this year. So, you know, that the fact that they're still talking about that. So what happened is we ended up going on that particular tour like once a year. It became kind of a family thing. And then we stopped going. There was an incident that happened during one of the tours, and it was getting overcrowded when we first started going. It was a smaller tour, but as you know, shows like Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventures, you know, all of a sudden people are looking for haunted locations. And there was an incident where a woman walked into the pool, and I was like, this is just getting too out of hand. And so we stopped going for a couple of years. And then I got an email asking if we wanted to join a tour. And I like, yeah, let's try it again. And it was a much smaller group. And one of the guests on the tour got scratched. And I happened to have my camera with me. And I started doing a lot of research about the hotel as a result of that incident. And they asked me to become a tour guide. At that time, the owners were not really into ghost tours. So I was only able to do two seasons there. They thought that the ghosts were bad for business. So me and one of the other members, so it was my friends, I'm still very good friends with them. And I'm so grateful that they took a risk on me. It's Linda, Julia, and Joe. Linda and Julia went on to do other wonderful things, but Joe and I created a walking tour in downtown Phoenix. And then he got us into the Orpheum. And the Orpheum decided to do, you know, this as their fundraiser. And so we did that for two seasons. And then they asked me to join the board. And as the treasurer, I did not know what I was getting into. But I said yes. And the rest is kind of history. That was back in 2017. And I love it so much. I love that theater. I love teaching people about the history of the theater through ghost stories.
Well, I just think it's fun today because we're going to take a deep dive into both of those places, the Orpheum Theater and the Hotel San Carlos. And I was looking online and I found a site that said, here are the 13 most haunted places in Phoenix. Number one, Hotel San Carlos. Number two is the Orpheum. So I'm like, yay, we're going to talk about both those tonight. So let's start with the Orpheum. Now, this is a gorgeous theater. I love, 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 love old theaters because they put so much into this experience of being in it. You know, it's art on every wall and the ceiling, and they're just so over the top and grand. And this Orpheum Theater is like that. And it's some architecturally, it's like, I don't know, like a Spanish, like a Spanish revival or something.
Yes.
So it's this gorgeous theater, and it was built like back in the 1920s.
Yes, it opened on January 5th, 1929. So we are currently celebrating its 95th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's a very special theater. And what I appreciate about the theater, is the story of how the theater got built. So there were two gentlemen, Harry Nace and Joe E. Rickards. They owned almost every single theater in the downtown Phoenix area. And during the, you know, the mid-20s, Phoenix had a huge boom when air travel came to town. So these two gentlemen decided they wanted to build the most incredible theater, you know, west of the Mississippi. So Harry Nace kind of took a journey around, you, like when I'm going through newspaper articles, I'm seeing he's here, he's been there, trying to gather the best of the best from all the theaters that he viewed. Yeah. And at that time, there were two different kinds of theaters. There was like the palace style theater with the chandeliers, and then there was the atmospheric theaters that were made popular by Emerson. And so they decided, because we're in Arizona, we're gonna make it feel like it's, you're sitting outside, but it's gonna be air cooled. So it was literally the coolest place in town in 1929, both figuratively and literally.
In 1929, they figured out how to do that.
Yeah, so it's very funny. They had these huge fans. It was called air cooled. So they would put water. It was just, it's kind of like what you would equate to a swamp cooler today. So they would run water and these huge fans over it to help cool it. And they said that you would have brand new air every 60 seconds. Some of the ads for the theater when it first opened are really fun to read about how proud they were of the air conditioning. And of course, the architecture, the ceiling, which to this day still simulates sunrise to sunset, you know, complete with stars and clouds. And then these amazing like landscapes on either side of the auditorium that were painted by a local artist. So it really looks like you're sitting outside in a Spanish villa when you're in the theater. And I think the thing that I love most about it, right now, actually they just took all the seats out. They're renovating all the seats. So it did seat like 1,396, and they're going to increase that by a couple of hundred with these new seats. But it's still kind of a small, intimate theater. And when you go there to see a show, the proscenium, of course, there are these ropes that are gold and everything, and it kind of glows. So it gives you the effect that you're sitting around a campfire. You're hearing stories around a campfire, which is just something that you don't get in the typical theaters anymore. So it just makes it really special.
And actually, you're lucky it's still standing.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank goodness the city of Phoenix stepped in, because you could have lost that amazing theater.
Yeah, so downtown Phoenix was a little bit sketchy back in the 70s, and they were tearing down a bunch of things. We also had a spectacular Fox Theater, this beautiful Art Deco Fox Theater that got torn down for, I believe it's a parking lot today. But thanks to this amazing family, the Corona family, they rented the theater beginning in 1970, and they ran and operated that theater until probably 94 on behalf of the city. But we had some really great politicians. We had a mayor that really fought for the building, Terry Goddard. He came in there and he's like, this is important. We got to figure out how to keep it. And he ended up pitching, let's attach the new city hall. Instead of bulldozing it, let's attach the city halls to the building. So right now, you know, our city hall shares a wall. So all of the air conditioning, electricity, all the utilities are shared between the two buildings. So it makes it really, it's just quite fabulous that you can do that.
I tell you, that is a lesson in why you vote. Because you could have easily had someone who didn't care about that building in office and could have said, tear it down, cost too much money.
We had two fabulous mayors. The other one was Paul Johnson, who helped kick off the fundraising for it, for the restoration. I was so grateful. One of the two gentlemen were able to be there on the 95th anniversary. We brought burlesque back to the theater for the night of the 95th anniversary. And we had the Corona family. The mom and dad are still alive. One's in the 90s and one's in their late 80s.
Oh,
and it was just like a very special night. And so we are so grateful that the city of Phoenix allows us, the Friends of the Orpheum Theater, to continue to be a part of the theater. Our main goal is to, you know, our mission is to, you know, provide historic, educational, and fundraising support for the theater. So through things like our ghost tours, we raise funds so that we can purchase things for the theater that aren't part of the city budget, just small things. For example, last year we bought new furniture for the Star's dressing room. We've bought adapted listening devices for the hearing impaired. And my favorite thing was right after I became treasurer, we bought clouds. I got to write a check for clouds, which was just the coolest thing ever. So it's,
Like just floating around clouds or
no, they clouds? They get projected onto the ceiling. It's actually software now. They used to use a Brenograph, I think, is what, and the original machines are still on the side of the wall, but they don't operate anymore.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's pretty fabulous. I'm so grateful to be a part of it.
There's a lot of through lines with theaters because I think that people get involved in the theater like you, and you become very passionate about it and you feel very attached to it and very much a part of it. They just kind of draw you in. You could be a stage manager. You could be box office. You could be an actor. You could be the projectionist. But everybody, even you could be a greeter. You know, everybody is very attached to it. And so I get why theaters end up having a lot of paranormal activity. That really
transient.
Makes sense to me.
And then level
and
of
transient
energy.
As well. Exactly.
Yeah, like even, you know, the emotions of the people in the theater that are watching the movie or the production, the emotion behind the scenes, you know, it's a very high emotion place. And it's usually a place that's beloved to most people. So why wouldn't you want to go back?
Yeah. And I was talking to someone, I can't remember what theater it was, but they had a volunteer who had volunteered there for years and years and years. And every show he went to, he sat in the exact same seat. And they think he's still there. And so nobody ever.
That was the Egyptian theater.
Yes, that was
it. Yes.
And nobody sits in that seat. And I, because they save it for him, I'm like, I could not love that more. I think that's so special.
Yeah. But yeah, I've been picking theater, out my seat. I've been picking out my seat where I'm going to haunt after I pass.
You can tell him this is going to be my seat, but on a sold out night, I get it.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You can put somebody in my seat. It's sold out. I will always understand that. And I will root for sold out crowds.
Definitely.
But this theater has definitely some paranormal activity. And you think back on all the people over the 95 years who have come through there, you know, and some big stars back in the day.
We had Mae West. We've had Henry Fonda. We've had Vincent Price. A laundry list of people.
And you think all the people who've come in and out of that theater, there's no wonder there would be paranormal activity. And you sent me a photo that actually it was funny because I'm looking at the photo. There's people on the stage and then there's a photo kind of in front of them. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at the people on the stage and then all of a sudden I look at the other photo and I see that woman and I was like, whoa.
Yeah, that is our headliner. Her name is Maddie and she hangs out in the balcony. Now that picture that I sent you was taken during the day. We do free public tours. And so there was a group there on the stage and one of the guests happened to be a photographer. And took a picture of, you know, just what the theater looks like from the point of view of an artist. And actually, it was Joe, my partner, took that photo. And so he sat on that for a long time. And then we were looking through photos and he said, I can't believe what I'm seeing. And I said, what are you looking at? And he said, there's something up in the balcony. So he kind of messed with it. He's more, well-versed in photography than I am. And so he was like, doing different contrast things. And all of a sudden she just popped out and there's no denying it. You can see her. Her name is Maddie. Now it's kind of interesting when they were doing the restoration of the theater, there was a woman that was working in the theater that was sensitive and I guess her light bulbs were breaking. And so she said, is there somebody here? And a light bulb broke. So through a series of light bulbs, they landed on the name Maddie. And she also said that's not her name. It's a nickname, but she won't tell me her name. So Maddie is a little bit elusive. But if you are disrespectful while you're sitting in the balcony, she will give you a little bit of a nudge. She's been known to kind of whack people up, behind the head.
Can she come to the theater I write for?
Yeah.
Once in a while, the house manager just doesn't get him to shut up. It's like, you need a paranormal. You need Maddie, a ghost to go over there and scare the crap out of him. That's what we need sometimes.
And she's done that. She's done that multiple times in the balcony. She's actually walked off the edge of the balcony and just vanished. And people, they've left and they don't come back. I've been trying to figure out who she is for many, many years. I do a tremendous amount of research. I look through Sanborn maps. Those are the fire maps that show you what was on the property prior to the theater being built there. I have subscriptions to all of the newspaper archives. I actually used to do microfiche. When I first joined, I was down at the library looking through microfiche to try to find out some of the stories about the Orpheum. I also do ancestry. So I have been tracking her down. I have a kind of a good lead on her now, but I'm not 100% sure.
And so in this picture, she kind of looks, you can't tell really, really well, but it kind of looks like dressed from like the 20s or 30s.
Well, it looks more like a early 1900s, 1910s, outfit.
Yeah,
silhouette, which makes it really hard because I've looked at a lot of pictures of women and they all have that same silhouette. So
yes,
it makes it really difficult. So I had narrowed it down to a couple people. So I did find out on the land where the theater used to sit in the front part where the balcony is, was one of the first mayors of Phoenix. His house was built there. He had, a wife and a daughter. And so I found pictures of them, but they just didn't really fit the attitude that Maddie has. So I just kept looking. And then on the other half of the theater where the stage is where a boarding house was. It was called the Gilbert House. So I was looking through there. And again, I was kind of just trying to figure things out. And then Harry Nace, one of the gentlemen, who built the theater, he had a sister-in-law named Maggie. So I was kind of on that trail for a while, but it just didn't really, nothing is ever kind of connected. But the interesting thing is in the theater, we had reports of people seeing Maddie, but we also had reports of another woman in the building who wears a hat. And she's usually seen in the lower level of the theater or near the stage area. So everybody kept calling that woman Maddie. And I kept thinking, I've never known of a ghost to make costume changes. I mean, maybe Cher will when she hits the afterlife, but I just don't know. So
that made me laugh.
So I was asking a lot of, my paranormal friends if they had ever seen, a ghost change costumes, and nobody really had ever seen that. So one night, we used to have Broadway shows come to town, like traveling shows. And the production coordinator was the only one left in the building. And he was shutting down all the lights. He was on the stage. And on the one side of the stage is a huge box where they have all of the lights. And he was turning off all the lights. And there used to be a door on that particular panel. And he closed the door. And right next to it is a doorway that leads to, I can't remember what they call it. It's like another little room where some of the crew sits. And then that room leads out into the backstage area. So he closes the door and there is a woman standing there. And he says, I just talked to her. My first thought wasn't ghost. It was, why is this woman still in my theater? And she was wearing a hat and she was wearing, of course, a white outfit because they all wear white outfits. He's like, her gown was from like a different time period, but I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking, why are you still in my theater? So he turned to her. He said, they had direct eye contact, and he said, may I help you? And she turned around and walked out. So he started to follow her, and there was only a couple of places that she could have gone. And he looked in those places. He couldn't find her. He went down into the basement area, couldn't find her, looked at some of the video, couldn't find her. And then he realized he had seen a ghost, and he said, I was gone. I left. he was just kind of a little bit shaken.
And you can't lock up a theater if somebody's still in it.
Right.
So he's thinking, I've got to find her because she needs to leave because I'm wrapping up.
Yeah.
It was that
it shook
real.
Him. Yeah. And he still, when he talked, I love it. I love it when he's there the nights that I do my haunted history tours, because I'm like, come over and tell your story. So he still gets shaken up. But so what was interesting about that is, like I said, I was doing a tremendous amount of research, and I had pictures of women. So I sent him through Facebook Messenger a paranormal lineup, like these three women. And he almost immediately said, 10,000%, it's her. He's like, I'm just getting goosebumps looking at her photo. And it was a woman who lived in the boarding house, and her name was Bessie. So we have Maddie in the balcony, and then Bessie is kind of hanging out around the stage area. So we've had lots of people come through the theater on tours. We've been fortunate enough to have a couple of people who were there in the 1930s and the 1940s, and one of them was a dancer at the theater. We had a gentleman named Gene Bump, who used to do his recitals there, and she said, I just happened to ask her. I said, were there any talks of ghosts? And she's like, oh my gosh, we always saw this woman with a hat on the stage. She's been there a long time. So like I said, she lived in that boarding house I think she got there in 1894, and she ended up leaving the area because she got tuberculosis, and she died in 1907, but she died in California. But apparently she still loves being in that space. And so she comes back. She's a regular visitor at the theater now.
And who knows for sure what happens when you die, and how some people are kind of ghosts and others aren't. I don't know. But it does seem to me that you could go back. If you were really connected to a place, you could go back there. And I would see why people would want to be there. Because I don't want to get stuck at a hospital.
Exactly. That's why would, like, for me, cemeteries and hospitals being haunted, like, who wants to be there? I'd rather be at the Orpheum or some other.
Go back to a place you loved.
Right. And, I listened to quite a few podcasts. I think it might have been on yours, where you were talking to a gentleman about how your spirit can splinter, how you can go into different places, and you might see a different version of yourself in those different places. So I feel like, Bessie is there, and she's just remembering. So she actually lived in the boarding house with her aunt, because her mother had passed away. So she was pretty beloved in our city. And so I could see why she'd want to come back and spend time at the Orpheum.
And if that's where the boarding house was originally.
Yep, absolutely.
And I wonder too, as a ghost, does she see it as the Orpheum, or does she see it as the boarding house?
That's a great question. I am not sure, because when I lay the Sanborn map underneath, so I got different versions of it. So like the 1945 version has the theater, and it lines up perfectly where that boarding house is. So I wonder if she sees the Orpheum, or I wonder if she's like, when she saw like that whole time being layered, I wonder if she was as frightened of Dylan as he was of her. Like, why? Who are you?
I could see that.
Yeah.
Like, nobody ever sees me, to make that kind of eye contact. It's like, wait a minute, he's seeing me.
Yeah. So it was a really strange encounter. And I think she also is in our basement. We were during COVID, we had a couple of things happen in the basement area. And one night, one of the painters was staying late because they took advantage of that time to kind of repaint some of the areas. And he came out of one of the back dressing rooms and he was headed towards the elevator. And he said he saw a woman standing there. So he's like, there's nobody in the building. So he figured it was a ghost, walked back in, I guess, waited 20 minutes, came back out. She was gone. He left the theater. He's never, ever been back. So,
you know, it's haunted when you see somebody and you go, that must be a ghost.
Yeah. Most of our spirits are very friendly. Harry Nace also has been known to hang out in the theater.
Now, he was one of the original
builders.
People behind it. Okay.
Yeah. He was a really phenomenal man. He was a circus acrobat. So he came to town like in 1910 as part of the traveling circus. And then I guess decided that he liked it so much, he came back in 1918 and kind of met up with Joey Rickards, and they started, you know, they built the Orpheum, but he managed the place. In fact, it got sold to a subsidiary of Paramount right before the stock market crashed in 1929. So within a year of it opening, they had sold it to Paramount. So part of the conditions was that he was to stay on as the manager. And he was just a very nice man, a law-abiding citizen. When I was going through some of the records in Ancestry, a lot of people who worked for him during World War II put him down as the person who will always know where I am. So he's a very kind man who died under incredibly mysterious circumstances. He allegedly commits suicide in 1953 by shooting himself twice in the abdomen.
Oh.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's a very suspicious suicide.
Yes, I agree. And I think he was part of the State Fair Commission and the Gaming Commission. So I can't help but think that maybe somebody wanted him to do something that he didn't want to do. So,
because if he really wanted to do it, that's not where he would have shot himself.
Yeah, it was actually in his, it wasn't in the theater itself. It was down in his apartment, which was like not even a mile away. It was in his, so he had an office and an apartment, and his body was found in the breezeway between those two places. And he was wearing like his boxer shorts and just kind of very strange. He did rub elbows with some, you know, unsavory characters. So we have this really interesting photo of him with Frank Sinatra. And it looks like Frank Sinatra is not pleased with him. So, you know, I was just kind of like, just something that makes you go,
Do you think he is present in the theater sometimes?
Yes, absolutely. He will say hello to people. He says hello. He's called people by their names. I think the funnest thing that we did, so during the tours, I have a haunted history tour. So I'm telling, you know, the stories in a little more detail than what I'm sharing with you. But last year I decided to integrate some, you know, analog paranormal. So I had dowsing rods. So a lot of people haven't worked with dowsing rods. I think dowsing rods are really fun. And people are usually, you know, excited to try them for the first time. So I had multiple pairs of dowsing rods and we start talking to Harry, and I love it when the dowsing rods point at stuff. So I had a tour where there was somebody on the tour was celebrating their birthday, and I was the only person that knew that they were celebrating a birthday. And I asked Harry if somebody was celebrating a birthday, and all of us that had dowsing rods said yes. And I said, will you point to the person? And all the dowsing rods pointed to that person. So that was kind of a cool moment. And that was also during the time of the World Series, and our Arizona Diamondbacks were in the World Series last year. And so we were asking him, will the Diamondbacks win tonight? And he accurately predicted most of the games. So we just had a little fun with Harry. Always a very pleasant person, a wonderful person. I never heard anybody say an unkind word about him.
You know, I just don't know if, like, a suspicious death always makes me wonder, could he really rest in peace?
No, I don't think so. I think he wants somebody to figure it out. And I tried to get, I think one person in town has the police report. I tried to get the police report and it's gone. So, it did happen a while ago.
Yeah, but then you always are like, it's probably been gone for a long time on purpose.
Well, the other thing is that in a lot of cities, the coroner is an appointed position. It's not an elected position, and you could appoint anybody to be your coroner. So cause of deaths, it was not uncommon for a cause of death to be purchased. So, you know, help out people, you know,
make some sense.
Yeah. So yeah, Harry still hangs around. A good energy. I think all of our spirits are good energies.
And
unless you're disrespectful in the balcony.
I'm telling you, I wish you'd hang out at more theaters.
We had somebody get shushed. That was the other one. She shushed one of the patrons on one of my tours. So
I could not love her more.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Because you could shush that woman all day long and she won't shush.
No, I'm very respectful to her. I go up there. And in fact, before any of the haunted history tours, I go through the building and tell all the spirits that I'm aware of that, you know, we're here. We're going to, you know, not to be talking about you. Is that okay? And things like that. Just like I would do if I walked into your house. You know, I treat them with respect.
That's what I think is really important. And I've heard so many people take that approach. And I think that it really calms the energy down. Because if you, all of a sudden there's people in and out and it's like, what are you doing? Why are you here? But if somebody took the time to say, you're going to see a lot of people, they're coming tonight to enjoy a movie or a show. And I think that makes sense to me.
It does. It's just being respectful. And it's very funny that we're talking about this. So as I mentioned earlier, the theater is undergoing some pretty big restoration. You know, they've taken all of the seats out of the theater. They've been sending me pictures so I can see what it looks like. And so it doesn't look like itself. And I remember that last night I was there before they started working on I had a talk with the ladies. Like, everything's going to be okay. There's going to be a lot of people in and out of here. And in fact, one of the members of the construction team is also one of our board members. So she's always every day walks in there and lets everybody know what's going on. Well, she told us during our board meeting earlier this week that they've had a couple of incidents and these people were being disrespectful. So one of the workers fell through a ceiling tile and then another one fell off the ladder. So, and she said it's definitely targeted. Those two people have been acting disrespectful. So
interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I was like, please write a log. Tell me everything that happens.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah. 'Cause you'd want to know, but I could see how it could really stir up activity because you're doing renovations and why are you doing this?
Yes. I'm grateful for the city of Phoenix and the current venue manager, Sean, and the production crew of Todd, Dylan, and Kylie, because they're so respectful and they are very thoughtful and appreciate what's going on in that theater.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation with Laura Lovato-Stenzel about the ghosts of Phoenix. Find more information about the Orpheum Theater at orpheumphx.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, then become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and you'll find everything there also, all ad-free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you so much for listening.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
There's a time and a place for a filet of fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
There's a time and a place for a filet of fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.